Stop the greed! Stop the exploitation!
And veterans and others call for peace Tuesday as Bush visits Bangor. But first, this news.
Also happening on Saturday, October 26th, the Union Rivershed Water Coalition will host the 2002 Watershed Festival and Mercury Thermometer Exchange. This October marks the 30th anniversary of the passage of the Clean Water Act. Coordinator Janet Redmond says this event is to encourage the continued protection of the health of the water in our backyard and to talk about what watersheds are. The event will be an open house from 9 a.m. until noon at the Ellsworth Middle School. There will be activities for children and adults, speakers, and organizations with information on water quality. Those who come can drop off their old batteries and exchange their mercury thermometer for a digital one. Redmond says the amount of mercury in one thermometer can contaminate a 20-acre lake to the point where it would require a fish consumption advisory. For more information, you can call 288-5015, extension 424, or email jredmond@ecology.coa.edu. Now one of today's stories. Thousands of jobs have been lost in Maine, directly and indirectly, due to the shutdown of manufacturing plants when businesses relocate out of the country to take advantage of lower wages, repressed union organizing, and the lack of environmental enforcement, a phenomenon perpetuated by so-called free trade agreements. The latest to fold up is the 165-year-old shirt company C.F. Hathaway, making its final decision and closing its Waterville plant last week, though it will continue production overseas, keeping the same label. Almost 300 people will have lost their jobs.
Stop the greed! Stop the exploitation! Stop the greed! Stop the exploitation! Stop the greed! Stop the exploitation!
Maine has been the third hardest hit of states losing jobs to so-called free trade. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, a net of 22,357 jobs have been lost between 1994 and 2000, directly due to trade entities such as the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, and the World Trade Organization, WTO. This past Friday, union members, laid-off workers, and community groups initiated a two-day statewide caravan to highlight this overall trend and its individual impacts. Though Maine Senator Susan Collins said thousands of jobs have been created by free trade policies, the labor caravan had one specific question to ask. Where are the jobs? Union members and laid-off workers performed a street theater skit, wielding magnifying glasses as they looked for the jobs in Maine. A participant dressed as a vulture-like bird illustrated the flight of jobs from Maine to countries where the labor costs were lower, ever searching for the country with the lowest price, making the connection between the corporate exploitation of local labor and international sweatshops. Bruce Roy of the Maine Labor Council PACE spoke at the Bangor rally.
We started this morning at 5 a.m. up in Millinocket, talking to workers as they were going into the Millinocket mill. And I can tell you one thing, there's no jobs in Millinocket anymore. There's no jobs in East Millinocket. Our next stop on the tour was Sherman Station. There weren't any jobs there either. There's 400 and something people in that town. 95 of them are laid off from the sawmill. There's no jobs there. These are jobs that have been affected by trade. People are hurting. And nobody's doing anything to stem the tide of jobs that are leaving this country.
Roy said that corporations are using their ability to relocate as leverage when negotiating with unions.
We're also seeing it at the bargaining table. My brothers and sisters up in Old Town right now are trying to bargain a contract with Georgia Pacific. Unfortunately, trade issues play a role in that now, too.
One of the hardest-hit manufacturing sectors has been shoes. Cynthia Finney worked for 11 and a half years hand-sewing shoes. She is angry that internationally workers are pitted against each other in a race to the bottom. The first company she worked for closed to move to Korea and the Dominican Republic. The next, Cole Haan, bought by Nike, moved production to Indonesia.
Last week, they closed the plant in Indonesia, not because the workers make too much, but because the workers have a union. Have you tried to buy shoes lately? Have you looked at where they're made? We get to vote in this country. And when I shop for shoes, when I look at where they're made, I want to know that the workers who made them can pay for a roof over their head, for food for their families, and can join a union if they want to stand up for their rights on the job. That's what this is about.
Laid-off workers struggle with health care. Though many are eligible for the COBRA plan, the monthly cost is completely unaffordable to a family on unemployment. The prospect of finding a job as well-paying or with the health care benefits many on medication require is not good. Kathy Pelletier worked for the Hathaway Shirt Factory for 36 years, where she also was union president, before it closed last week, another stop on the caravan.
The prospects of finding other jobs are not good whatsoever, and these women are scared to death. The majority of our people have been there roughly 20 years or more.
Caravan participants underlined the fact that many votes made by Congress have allowed corporations unhindered freedom. Jack McKay, president of the Bangor Area Central Labor Council.
It's unfortunate that Senator Collins voted for free trade with China, where both Saucony and Dexter moved their jobs. She voted against worker rights twice in April. Twice. Against worker rights, against the most fundamental worker rights. She did that in the fast track legislation. It is an outrage that any elected official does not support fundamental, internationally recognized worker rights in our trade legislation. That should be criminal. It shouldn't be a reason to be elected.
Kathy Pelletier agrees. She blames plant closures on corporate greed, free trade policies, and the government's inability to stand up for workers.
They make it way too easy to move the whole thing overseas. You know, the government should have put limits on what they could have moved over there, you know, and at least guaranteed a certain amount of it had to stay here.
The Labor and Human Rights Coalition are challenging candidates for this election to sign a fair trade pledge to the people of Maine, specific to the next trade agreement threat, the FTAA, Free Trade Area of the Americas, which would expand NAFTA policy to all of Latin America. This is being negotiated in Ecuador from October 27th to November 3rd. A crowd of about 100 anti-war protesters lined the route to the airport in Bangor, Maine, Tuesday afternoon, hoping to deliver a message to George Bush, who was arriving for a Republican fundraiser. The protest was organized by local members of Veterans for Peace, who are strongly opposed to renewed war in Iraq.
Veterans for Peace is a national organization founded in 1985 by ex-military service members. Their mission is to share the horrors they experienced, to increase public awareness of the costs of war, and to work for peace. Ron Warner of Bangor, Maine, is a Vietnam vet. He explains why he was present at the protest.
Vietnam was a terrible experience, and I don't want anyone else to have to suffer that, whether as a combatant or as a civilian caught up in it. I think President Bush doesn't understand the human cost of war. He hasn't experienced it, and his view seems to be a very narrow-minded view where force is the only option. That's what he's been saying right from the start on this issue. He hasn't even considered other options. I'd like to tell him not to invade Iraq, not to wage war, but to use every other means possible to avoid war.
Bob Jones of Surrey, Maine, served in the Army from 1962 to 1968. He says that he believes George Bush understands the price of war, but that he thinks it's worth it.
I think he understands that there will be collateral damage and that that is worth it in his quest for domination of, military domination of the planet.
Everett Cox of Etna, Maine, another veteran attending Tuesday's protest, says he believes that if we go to war, it will be for oil, not democracy or U.S. security.
I have two tours in Vietnam, and I was downtown Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, when the Scud missiles were coming in. My feeling is that America has engaged in a war on poverty, a war on crime, a war on drugs, and we've never come close to succeeding in any of those, so why embark on another one that has no relevance to democracy, little relevance to weapons of mass destruction? It's really a contest between America and Asia as to who gets the oil underneath Iraq. And I don't think we should go to war for oil.
Like the other veterans present, Everett Cox doesn't think that Bush understands the human toll of war.
President Bush hasn't a clue. He was a draft dodger at best. Okay? At best. His campaigning and all of his experiences, I don't think lend themselves well to the presidency.
Peter Phillips, also of Bangor, served in the Navy during the Vietnam War. During his time in the service, he began to question why the U.S. was engaged in that war, and that questioning led him to make what he calls a political and ethical turn, which led to his becoming a peace activist.
I kind of took a big turn from being pro-Vietnam War to being totally against the war, and this reminds me a lot about what happened in Vietnam. Well, it was the idea of being in a war that didn't make sense for us to be in a foreign country without any clear purpose, with a lot of killing of innocent people, children, not only troops, but also definitely people in Vietnam. Just all the bombings, and it just did not make any sense. And it was a political, certainly, but also an ethical turn for me.
Phillips says that he will continue speaking out for peace, even if troops are employed. He does not believe that unquestioning acceptance of the government's policies during times of war demonstrates support for the troops, and he will not be silent.
Definitely not. I'm not now, and I won't be then. I'm going to keep reading and talking, and I really don't believe in bashing people, or I believe in whatever party, whatever doesn't feel right and isn't right, I am going to speak up and I'm going to speak out. I'm going to do it in a way that's fair and respectful, but clearly and directly.
Ron Warner says he too will continue to advocate for peace.
I'll be out here protesting as long as it takes to avert this war. I think being patriotic is defending the Constitution and our civil liberties, not by supporting one man who's intent on waging war.
That rally actually took place on Tuesday, not yesterday. At the rally, we spoke with Tony Amon and Ilza Petersens. Tony is one of the organizers of the peace rally coming up in Augusta this coming Saturday, and Ilza Petersens is of the Peace and Justice Center of Eastern Maine, and they told us about plans for Saturday.
Hi, this is Tony Amon with the rally Stop the War Now, Reclaim Peace and Justice.
And that's going to be happening this Saturday, October 26th. Could you give us some details about that?
Sure. Saturday in Augusta. We want people to come around noon to gather for the march. But if people are interested in drumming, please come at 11 o'clock, and you'll have an hour of drumming before we actually start organizing the march. And then between 12 and 12:45, while we organize the march, there will be some entertainment from Four Shillings Short. And we will ask for groups to give us a representative that we can sort of deputize as a marshal that will be given some special instructions so that we maintain a safe and orderly march to the Capitol. And then at about 12:45, we'll have a send-off, and the first wave of marchers will proceed in silence, keeping in the tradition of Women in Black and the other silent marches. That's such a powerful statement. And following those who wish to march in silence will be Peter Baldwin's huge drum, and that will beat out a substantial cadence that should reach all the way to Washington, we hope. And those who choose to march not in silence follow the drum. We'll get down to the area between the Capitol and the state library, where we will gather for the rally. And Tom Jackson will be our keynote speaker. He's the producer who made the movie Greetings from Missile Street, which has been so popular in this area. He's been to Iraq several times and brings us word of the effect of the horrible sanctions and the death and devastation that's brought on people, and as well as some words about what we can do about this situation. And we'll have other speakers and musicians sprinkled in. We expect the rally to go about 90 minutes. And we'll depart with singing some songs. And as the rally is over, we hope that some people who might want to wrap up, give us some idea of what they experienced and also what they hope might be coming down the road, if we could get together with them for a few minutes and maybe a few hours. I don't know. It depends on what the crowd wants.
So, once again, people are going to be meeting where and at what time?
At the Bucher School in Augusta, which is on Capitol Street across from the Armory. So if you go up Western Avenue to the Armory, you would turn in the opposite direction, east, at that light, and go down Capitol Street just a brief ways, right there is the Bucher School. People can be unloaded there, and then the driver can take the car down to the Capitol parking lot. There's plenty of room down there, and we'll shuttle the drivers back.
Okay. And we also have Ilza Petersens here from the Eastern Maine Peace and Justice Center to tell us about how people in our listening area can plug in and join up with people in the morning.
We're really excited because we have so far two full buses going from Bangor and from Ellsworth, and people are going to be, we'll have a send-off rally at the Bangor Theological Seminary at 9:30 Saturday morning, so anyone who's driving and wants to be part of a caravan could join us there.
Which is on Union Street?
It's 300 Union Street. Yep.
So people can join with their cars and kind of follow the buses to...
Right, right.
Is there more room on the buses if anybody needs transportation?
Yes, the bus company actually told us we can let them know Friday morning. So we're taking additional names, and we've been getting calls constantly. So I think we'll fill up another bus. So we'll probably have three buses going. But people should call the center and let us know, 942-9343.
Great. And, Tony, if people have any other questions for you, is there a place where people can reach you?
Yes, they can call me at 326-9574. If you just want to see more information about the rally, you can go to the Peace Action Maine website, which is peaceactionme.org.
Great. And I think there's also some on maineindymedia.org. Great. Thank you both.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Amy.
The Peace March and Rally in Augusta this coming Saturday will be held in solidarity with peace marches being held in Washington, D.C., San Francisco, and around the world in opposition to war in Iraq. October 26th is the anniversary of the so-called Patriot Act. The San Francisco Labor Council has issued the following resolution, quote, George W. Bush has declared his intent to wage a preemptive war against Iraq and is now seeking to strong-arm the international community, the UN, and the Congress into support and submission. As members of Congress rush to show their obedience and member states of the UN line up to receive the anticipated spoils of the war, the administration is now waging a campaign to convince the people of the United States to fall into step and finance with money and blood this war brought for conquest on behalf of the corporate and oil interests that make up the Bush's true constituency. Bush's preemptive war is a war of aggression. The U.S. policy supporting the war is not the rule of law, but the rule of force. Close quote. For more information on events happening around the country and around the world in solidarity on October 26th, you can go to www.internationalanswer.org.
His own legs is cut, so long that he was so known.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world as one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train, take this country, come take me home again. And I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe train sounding louder, right on the peace train.
Thank you.
That was Dolly Parton with Ladysmith Black Mambazo with Peace Train. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Meredith DeFrancesco.
And I'm Amy Brown. Joel Mann was our engineer today. Andy Buckley does web and technical support.
Contact us if you have news or comments by calling or writing us here at WERU or emailing radioactivenews@hotmail.com.
You can listen to archived Radioactive programs on the web at www.freespeech.org/RAN or at mainindymedia.org.
Join us again for Radioactive next Thursday, when we'll be covering local activists addressing the FTAA, Free Trade Area of the Americas, and coverage of the October 26th Peace March in Augusta. Thank you for listening and acting.